It's that time again. Time for Chip and Eric.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Here we are. Good morning, everybody.
Many of you haven't even brushed your teeth yet. You just rolled over, gave a big old yawn, and turned on Chip and Eric. We appreciate that, but do brush your teeth.
You. Yeah, please do.
Oral hygiene is extremely important. Well, welcome back. So yesterday we read some Psalms, and before that we read about the kind of the preparations of the temple and, you know, this idea of commissioning Solomon and all that stuff. So today we're going to pick up, man, I still have something in my throat from yesterday.
Really? Yeah, that's right. Maybe it'll come out.
If you don't know, it's because we read these back to back. So don't go judging me after I just said oral hygiene is important.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, discussing the duties of the Levites.
Okay, discussing the duties of the Levites. When David was old, when he was an old man, he appointed his son Solomon to be king over Israel. David summoned all the leaders of Israel, together with the priests and Levites. All the Levites who were 30 years old or older were counted, and the total came to 38,000. Then David said, from all the Levites, 24,000 will supervise the work at the temple of the Lord. Another 6,000 will serve as officials and judges. Another 4,000 will work as gatekeepers, and 4,000 will praise the Lord with musical instruments I have made. Then David divided the Levites into divisions named after the clans descended from the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari.
The Gershonites. The Gershonite family units were defined by their lines of descendants from Libni and Shimei, the sons of Gershon. Three of the descendants of Libni were Jehiel, the family leader, Jethem, and Joel. These were the leaders of the family of Libni. Three of the descendants of Shimei were Shelomoth, Haziel, and Haran. Four other descendants of Shimei were Jehath, Ziza, Jeush, and Beriah. Jehath was the family leader, and Ziza was next. Jeush and Beriah were counted as a single family because neither had many sons.
The Kohathites. Four of the descendants of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses. Aaron and his descendants were set apart to dedicate the most holy things, to offer sacrifices in the Lord's presence to serve the Lord, and to pronounce blessings in his name forever.
As for Moses, the man of God, his sons were included with the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. The descendants of Gershom included Shebuel, the family leader. Eleazar had only one son, Rehabiah, the family leader. Rehabiah had numerous descendants.
The descendants of Izhar included Shelomith, the family leader.
The descendants of Hebron included Jeriah, the family leader, Amariah the second, Jehizel the third, and Jachamiam the fourth.
The descendants of Uziel included Micah, the family leader, and Izhiah the second.
The Merarites. The descendants of Merari included Mahli and Mushi. They're back.
Yeah, I miss those guys.
The sons of Mahli were Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar died with no sons, only daughters. His daughters married their cousins, the sons of Kish. Three of the descendants of Mushi were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth.
These were the descendants of Levi by clans, the leaders of their family groups, registered carefully by name. Each had to be 20 years old or older to qualify for service in the house of the Lord. For David said, the Lord, the God of Israel, has given us peace and will always live in Jerusalem. Now the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and its furnishings from place to place. In accordance with David's final instructions, all the Levites 20 years old or older were registered for service.
The work of the Levites was to assist the priests, the descendants of Aaron, as they served at the house of the Lord. They also took care of the courtyards and side rooms, helped perform the ceremonies of purification, and served in many other ways in the house of God. They were in charge of the sacred bread that was set out on the table, the choice flour for the grain offerings, the wafers made without yeast, the cakes cooked in olive oil, and the other mixed breads. They were also responsible to check all the weights and measures. Each morning and evening, they stood before the Lord to sing songs of thanks and praise to Him. They assisted with the burnt offerings that were presented to the Lord on Sabbath days, at new moon celebrations, and at all the appointed festivals. The required number of Levites served in the Lord's presence at all times, following all the procedures they had been given.
And so, under the supervision of the priests, the Levites watched the tabernacle and the temple and faithfully carried out their duties of service at the house of the Lord.
Duties of the priests. This is how Aaron's descendants, the priests, were divided into groups for service. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father, and they had no sons. So only Eleazar and Ithamar were left to carry on as priests.
With the help of Zadok, who was a descendant of Eleazar, and of Elimelech, who was a descendant of Ithamar, David divided Aaron's descendants into groups according to their various duties. Eleazar's descendants were divided into 16 groups and Ithamar's into 8, for there were more family leaders among the descendants of Eleazar.
All the tasks were assigned to the various groups by means of sacred lots so that no preference would be shown, for there were many qualified officials serving God in the sanctuary from among the descendants of both Eleazar and Ithamar. Shemaiah, son of Nethanel, a Levite, acted as secretary and wrote down the names and assignments in the presence of the king, the officials, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech son of Abiathar, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites. The descendants of Eleazar and Ithamar took turn casting lots. Oh, you can share this if you want to.
Yeah.
It's a long one.
Well, the first lot fell to Jehorab, the second lot fell to Jediah, the third lot fell to Haram, the fourth lot fell to Seorim, the fifth lot fell to Melchijah, the sixth lot fell to Mijamim, the seventh lot fell to Hakaz, the eighth lot fell to Abijah, the ninth lot fell to Jeshua, the tenth lot fell to Shechaniah, the 11th lot fell to Eliashib, the 12th lot fell to Jechim, the 13th lot fell to Huppah, the 14th lot fell to Jeshebabib, the 15th lot fell to Bilgah, the 16th lot fell to Immer.
The 17th lot fell to Hezer. The 18th lot fell to Hapazez. The 19th lot fell to Pethahiah. The 20th lot fell to Jehezkel. The 21st lot fell to Jakin. The 22nd lot fell to Gamaliel. The 23rd lot fell to Deleah. The 24th lot fell to Maaziah.
Each group carried out its appointed duties in the house of the Lord according to the procedures established by their ancestor Aaron in obedience to the commands of the Lord, the God of Israel.
Family leaders among the Levites. These were the other family leaders descended from Levi. From the descendants of Amram, the leader was Shebuel. From the descendants of Shebuel, the leader was Jediah. From the descendants of Rehabiah, the leader was Ishiah. From the descendants of Izhar, the leader was Shelomith. From the descendants of Shelomith, the leader was Jahath. From the descendants of Hebron, Jeriah was the leader, Amariah was the second, Jehaziel was third, and Jechamiam was fourth. From the descendants of Uziel, the leader was Micah. From the descendants of Micah, the leader was Shemir, along with Ishiah, the brother of Micah. From the descendants of Ishiah, the leader was Zechariah. From the descendants of Merari, the leaders were Mahli and Mushi. From the descendants of Jaaziah, the leader was Bino. From the descendants of Merari through Jeziah, the leaders were Bino, Shoham, Zachar, and Ibri. From the descendants of Mahli, the leader was Eleazar, though he had no sons. From the descendants of Kish, the leader was Jeremiel. From the descendants of Mushi, the leaders were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth.
These were the descendants of Levi and their various families. Like the descendants of Aaron, they were assigned to their duties by means of sacred lots, without regard to age or rank. Lots were drawn in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the family leaders of the priest and the Levites.
Duties of the musicians. David and the army commanders, I think we're going to see some of our favorite names in here.
Oh.
David and the army commanders then appointed men from the families of Asaph, Heman, see,
yay,
Jeduthun, to proclaim God's messages to the accompaniment of lyres, harps, and cymbals. Here is a list of their names and their work.
From the sons of Asaph, there were Zachor, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Azarelah. They worked under the direction of their father Asaph, who proclaimed God's messages by the king's orders. From the sons of Jeduthun, there were Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimi, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, six in all. They worked under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who proclaimed God's messages to be accompanied of the lyre, offering thanks and praise to the Lord. From the sons of Heman, there were Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shubiel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Elathiah, Gedalti, Romamita, Ezer, Joshabekasha, Melathi, Hother, and Mahazothoth. Mahazioth. Mahazioth.
It's like you just quit in the middle of that name.
Yes. It's a long one. Mahazioth. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, for God had honored him with 14 sons and 3 daughters.
All these men were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of cymbals, harps, and lyres at the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman reported directly to the king. They and their families were all trained in making music before the Lord, and each of them, 288 in all, was an accomplished musician. The musicians were appointed to their term of service by means of sacred lots, without regard to whether they were young or old, teacher or student.
The first lot fell to Joseph of Asaph, clan of 12 of his sons and relatives. The second lot fell to Gedaliah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The third lot fell to Zakur and 12 of his sons and relatives. The fourth lot fell to Zeri, the 12 of his sons and relatives. The fifth lot fell to Nethaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The sixth lot fell to Bukiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The seventh lot fell to Azarela and 12 of his sons and relatives. The eighth lot fell to Jeshiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The ninth lot, it fell to Mattaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The tenth lot fell to Shimei and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 11th lot fell to Uziel and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 12th lot fell to Hashabiah and 12 of his sons and relatives.
The 13th lot fell to Shubael and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 14th lot fell to Mattathiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 15th lot fell to Jeremoth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 16th lot fell to Hananiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 17th lot fell to Joshbekashah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 18th lot fell to Hanani and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 19th lot fell to Malothi and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 20th lot fell to Eliatha and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 21st lot fell to Hother and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 22nd lot fell to Gedalti and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 23rd lot fell to Mahazioth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 24th lot fell to Romamti-Ezer and 11 of his, oh, no, sorry, yeah. 12 of his sons and relatives. Wow.
A lot of sons, a lot of relatives, a lot of names, a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That is what it was.
A lot of people. People matter to God.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay, so.
Good thing.
Yeah, the so what, I would say, is pretty challenging on this one.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Application, but I kept thinking through, and I thought this before, and I don't know how much I've covered it, I might have, but talking, I believe, you know, to the Levites and those in the house of the Lord and the roles in the house of the Lord, and I know back in the day, you know, the Levites had specific functions in the house of the Lord as kind of the worship leaders or the keepers of the tabernacle, mm-hmm. The temple and things like that. But so today, like, we all play that part. We all have that role in the house of the Lord, the people of God, the family of God. So I think they each had their specific roles, functions, and responsibilities there. And I think we do as well, based upon God's calling and God's gifting in our life. Mm-hmm. And so we discern his calling, and then we discover our gifting, and then we take that and we apply that to the church body,
yep.
God's body, God's family, and we use it. What Peter says is to employ it. So we mm-hmm. put it to work. So God's calling, God's gifting, we discover that, we follow that, we embrace it, and then we put it to work. We use it at the family of God and church, and that's what we're called to do. And so I would encourage you to, since God's calling for your life, for the church, and also discern your gifting. And many people are like, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, you can take spiritual gifts tests. Those are fine. But I think a lot of it's just within our heart. Like, what do you love to do? Yeah. When you discover what you love to do, just use that for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Just use it for ministry and give it a shot. Experiment. Try it out. We have people do that at our church from time to time. They'll just kind of try something out, and it's not for them. They can move on,
yeah.
You know, and figure it out. I think sometimes we just need to just do something, and then we'll figure it out along the way of what we can or what we, you know, we're gifted at, what we're not. So
I think with that, so I say it a lot, that what engages volunteers in service is values. So you just approach the values part of it for sure. That's what God wants for you, and he's gifting you and empowering you to do that. But then also training. And I thought it was so interesting that, you know, when we get to 1 Chronicles 25, verse 7, they and their families were all trained in making music before the Lord, and each of them was an accomplished musician. So
yeah,
they saw this as an opportunity for excellence, to be excellent at this thing. And so I think that's interesting too, to piggyback on your point there. Find the thing that you're passionate about, because that's the thing you're going to want to be really good at, you know, and God's already given you that gifting, that's but true. You can improve your end of that over and over again.
Yeah.
So cool. So where's Jesus? Good. I'm going to just default to all of this work was done to manage the temple of God and the sacrifices and the system and all that stuff. And all of these people and names that we just read were the people that were essential for worship to happen.
True.
In Israel.
Essential.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
There's only one.
Yeah.
There's only one. There's mm-hmm. no priest between us and God except for mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And so I think that it's pretty awesome that cool. this new covenant that we have requires only one person,
mm-hmm.
you know, our worship, but through Jesus in the Spirit of God. So, mm-hmm. That's where I see Jesus in this. He's all of this simplified.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Down to one.
That's very good.
Yeah. Well, good. Thanks for sharing that with us. And thank you guys for joining us today.
Yes.
And we look forward to reading the Bible to you tomorrow.
We do.
Yes.
I'm going to do it right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.